And it's great because people really, you know, they it opens their eyes to what can happen if you plan and you really look at a process from beginning to end. And we have experts that work here and we need to utilize those expertise because they're the ones who do the work on the front lines. And who better to know what the process should be and what the solution should be but them, correct? So we're very intentional about that. And, you know, this is not about hierarchy or your title or your position. It's just about how do we make sure that we're meeting the needs of our customers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tracy O'Rourke.
And I'm Elizabeth Swan.
And we are from GoLeanSixSigma.com, and you're listening to the Just In Time Cafe podcast, where we bring you fabulous apps, polls, news, books, and people, so you can build your problem-solving muscles.
We got a good mix today, Tracy. This episode has education and healthcare and measurement.
Awesome. I love that because really this applies everywhere in every industry. Great examples of the universality of continuous improvement.
There's still people that think it's just for manufacturing.
I know that blows me away because 90% of what I've worked on in 20 years is administrative and transactional services. But you know what? We'll get there. All right, let's get to the private dining room and explain how it's not.
Meet ya.
Okay, Elizabeth, I know we've got a really good spread today. So what's on the menu?
First up, we get the results of our latest poll and we find out how people prefer to learn. And then for our In the News segment, we're going to highlight a Shingo Prize winner who could impact your next hospital stay. For Q&A, we'll answer a listener's question about how to account for soft savings, like avoided labor. And for today's special, I got to interview Kamaljeet Jackson, who is using Kaizens as a blame-free space for continuous improvement, and she's doing it in the educational system. So much to discuss today, Tracy.
Very exciting lineup. Remember to stay tuned for this month's coupon code in order to get a discount on GoLeanSixSigma.com online training.
Let's get to the poll. Interesting poll results, huh, Tracy?
Yes, they were very interesting. And just to refresh your memory, in last month's poll, we asked, what is your favorite way to learn? And here's what we found. Listening to lectures came in at about 5%, which I don't think is many people's favorite way to learn. Reading a book got 6% of the vote. Taking an online course came in at 9%. And learn by doing was 28%. But the top vote was 52%, some combination of the above. And I have to admit, that's how I like to learn too. I love to learn by doing, but I actually do like reading books a lot.
Seeing that lectures came in last, I'm like, that makes sense to me. But seeing that reading a book only got 1% more, I was a little like, aw, I love reading books. And then, but once I read, it's a combination. And learn by doing absolutely should be first, you know, but it's still only 30%. But some combination means you get to take, you know, online courses and reading books and learning by doing. Anyway, so I do see that it paves the way for the best way to learn is that combination.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Some of these results actually support the idea that, just as you said, Elizabeth, that it's a combination of items. And I think that's why maybe our flipped classroom approach has been really successful, because it's online learning, but then it's combined with group reviews with an instructor, and then learning by doing, ideally with projects or with concepts that you're applying in some sort of exercise. So that also is a good testament to this combination of learning.
Yeah, good example. Well, thanks for that one, guys. Thanks for answering our poll. Our new poll is up. And as this year comes to a close, we want your opinion on this podcast. So we're switching gears because Apple doesn't really give us great analytics. So we know we get thousands and thousands of downloads, but we're not really sure what parts of this podcast that you guys find most useful. So if you don't mind, now's your chance to give us some feedback that'll help us decide, you know, what to add, change, delete next year, or what to beef up, what to slim down. So here's our question for you. Which podcast segment do you like the most? And we know, just like our previous poll question, you probably have more than one favorite or you like some combination. But for this round, we're kind of forcing a favorite and asking you to pick one. So your options are Appetizer of the Day, that's the app or software review. In the News, that's our published Lean Six Sigma applications. Best Books to Buy, that's our industry book review. Today's Special, that's our featured guest interview. Survey Says, that's Voice of the Customer polls like this one. or Q&A. That's answering learners' questions. So enter your vote and we'll discuss the results with you next month.
Yeah, and we're really looking forward to what you have to say about that.
Yeah.
I'm Tracy O'Rourke and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. We'd love your feedback, so please leave us a review too on iTunes or our website. And don't forget to subscribe. Up next, it's in the news. Okay, Elizabeth, I'm dying to know. So how might this Shingo Prize winner affect my next hospital stay? And I hope I don't have to go to the hospital anytime soon.
I don't think this is going to be in your near future, but it's a fascinating article because it, like I said, it made me do some research. It's Cardiva Medical, and they won a bronze medallion from the Shingo Institute for Operational Excellence. And that was at their Guaymas, Mexico manufacturing plant where they make vascular closure devices. And that's what I had to look up. It's a combination of collagen, which is defined as a fibrous protein found in skin, bone, and connective tissue, and a metallic clip or a suture, which is a stitch. So this provides immediate sealing of a puncture that they make in your artery after you have an angiogram. I know you have not had an angiogram.
No, I have not, and I'm not looking forward to having one.
No, I have never had one either. And I didn't realize they puncture your femoral artery and they put a camera in there to check out your veins, which is kind of space age already. And then that leaves a hole. So somebody has to apply pressure to your artery while you're lying there in the bed for 15 minutes to stop the bleeding. And then you have to lie flat for 4 hours.
Well, that's awful.
It's a long time. And so the vascular closure device stops the bleeding immediately. So you don't have the 15 minutes of pressure. There's no lying flat for 4 hours. So this factory is run by Jesus Beltran, and he used Shingo principles from the start, you know, from the beginning of building this factory. So they've achieved 183% growth rate over 3 years. That's a lot. They also increased the number of employees by over 700%.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow. They made it into magazine Inc. Magazine's Inc. 5000 list as one of the fastest growing private companies in the United States. So the company's on their journey to operational excellence. And they're helping medical facilities achieve it too, right? Because now there's not all that time waiting around for people's femoral arteries to heal up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really just waiting, and they've reduced that. So it helps hospitals be more efficient and, you know, with turns and operating tables and operating rooms, those kinds of things. So I know people don't like to think about that, but that is really important. It's like to the next person who needs an angiogram more quickly.
Yeah. And you want to get home, you know, you want to be able to be up in the ambulatory and on your way. People have important things to do.
Definitely. Even if you had an angiogram. But I think the sad part is, I mean, it's good. It's great that they have tremendous growth, but it also goes to show you that, well, apparently this is a problem. Angiograms, there's a lot of them happening. Thankfully, you and I haven't had them, but it's definitely something that is an issue in the United States anyway.
Yeah. I'm Elizabeth Swan, and you're listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. In a short while, we'll get to hear my interview with Kamaljeet Jackson, the Senior Accountability and Efficiency Officer at the Racine Unified School District of Wisconsin. Next up, it's a question from one of our listeners. This is an interesting question, since people often treat avoided labor as a kind of hard savings. Since they don't have to do things like spend a half an hour a day doing a rework, they put a dollar amount to that half hour, but that's problematic in itself. So Tracy, you fielded this one.
Yes. So the question is, what is the best way or best method to show how various areas that are saving time are actually using that time for other work? So what I find is this can be really helpful when you are doing an improvement project or if you've completed one and you did save time. I love to hear what people are doing with that extra time. And I find that it varies quite a bit. So as an example, there was an organization, it was a county, and they process birth, death, and marriage certificates by mail. And they were able to reduce the time it took to process these. And so therefore they were able to produce more. So they actually didn't necessarily switch what they were working on, but they did, they were able to increase their capacity to do more of the same thing. And then they also started to get more gains with that. And then those people that were doing mail applications and certificates could be assigned to the window. So when people were coming into the county to request one in person, those people were reassigned from the mail to the window for face-to-face customer service for the same process. So it did help increase capacity, and that could be really huge. It could be that you're doing something very similar, and you're just now able to do more of it.
That's a great spin on that. I love the idea of now you have more time. What's going to happen to your capacity, right? What does a half hour do to your daily capacity? And you could measure that. So that could turn into something more substantial than, well, I avoided a half hour rework. That's great.
Yes. You know, there's always plenty to do. That's the thing. This is not actually something that people struggle with, is what am I going to do with this extra free time? And most people are not spending it going, getting, they're not spending their time going to get more coffee.
I might do that, Tracy, but people don't.
Right. And so, you know, and I love to hear what people are doing. One of my favorite responses is, I actually have time to do more process improvement now. I love that. Thank you. Because most of the time people are struggling with finding time to do it, but I also think it's about the value that people see. So when they say, I can spend more time doing more process improvement now, I want to give them a hug.
Just for you listeners out there, Tracy is available for process improvement hugs. Please write contact@goingsixsigma.com.
The huggable consultant. Okay. So, and then the other thing is, you know, one of my favorite examples, very similar to your healthcare example. So nurses spend a lot of time in hospitals looking for things. They're constantly walking around. They walk on average about 7 miles a day. And there's a lot of process improvement efforts to try to reduce that motion so that nurses can spend more time with patients. Isn't that what should be happening? And I'm sure that they want to spend more time with patients and less time looking for wheelchairs and supplies.
That's a great example. That's always the goal of healthcare, spend more time adding value, which is time with patients. Those are great. Yes. Thank you, Tracy. Mm-hmm. It's time to announce the coupon code.
This code is for 20% off any of our Lean Six Sigma training and certification courses. That's white, yellow, green, black, and lean training.
If you've joined us at the Just In Time Cafe, just use coupon code 20COCO, that's 20COCOA, during checkout. And make sure to use it soon, since the coupon will expire on the 15th of January.
I can't believe we actually are going into 2019.
I know.
Coming up next is today's special. Elizabeth, give us a little preview of your interview with Kamaljeet Jackson.
Sure. She brought her Lean Six Sigma Black Belt skills into the educational system, and she's done it with humanity. She truly understands that improvement has to come from the people who do the work. And she's got a great story where her team discovers they all made assumptions around what the rules were, you know, what was actually required in a process. And you've seen that in the private sector. We create barriers for ourselves when none exist. So she's got great examples of what's possible and what the downstream impacts were on parents and students and the people who run the system within the school district. It's a great interview. She's a lovely person.
That's wonderful. And I can't wait to hear it, because everybody, sometimes we just have to know how we're getting in our own way.
Yeah. And we do that. For today's special, I am speaking with Kamaljeet Jackson. She's the Senior Accountability and Efficiency Officer at the Racine Unified School District in Wisconsin. Welcome, Kamaljeet.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let me give you a little background on Kamaljeet. In addition to her work with the Racine School District, she is on the board of the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Racine. She's also part of the Emerging Quality Leadership Program with ASQ, that's the American Society for Quality. She also led the advisory council at the Gateway Technical College. She is a Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. She's a keynote speaker. She's been given numerous awards and recognition for her success with continuous improvement. We found out about Kamaljeet from an article in the Journal Times of Racine County. They highlighted her efforts to bring Lean Six Sigma into the school district to improve the educational system. So, Kamaljeet, describe your role to our listeners. What's a day in your life look like?
Well, I have a lot of meetings. I think I spend a lot of my time working with people, getting to know them and building relationships around why they chose Racine Unified School District as their destination
of choice. This is an area that we're
really looking at, you know, how do we do things better together from a collective success perspective. So it's really getting to know everybody. We have 3,300 employees here. 1,600 of those are our teaching staff. I work at the central office, so we have approximately 100 employees here. And so I'm involved in a myriad of things, a lot of projects. My goal really is to look at our strategic plan to make sure that what we do each and every day aligns to that. And to also look at how do we deploy Lean across the entire district so people have a common vocabulary around, you know, what does Lean Six Sigma really mean from an education standpoint? And also to leverage the expertise and the talents of our workforce, because they're the upside to a lot of that.
Nice. So that's a big spread, and probably a lot of listeners out there thinking, yeah, I spend a lot of my day in meetings too.
Yes.
What prompted the effort to bring Lean Six Sigma into the school district?
My previous tenure with Gateway Technical College, I was the quality systems manager there, and we deployed this distributed leadership model framework around Lean Six Sigma and how do we get others to really own and buy into the work, and how do we use their expertise and talents to make process improvement. In that role, I also did some training workforce side and getting into organizations, and Racine Unified School District was really interested in looking at the Kaizen approach and how do we bring people together, various stakeholders, and have a common goal and look at process improvement and how do we really do that from a collaboration and partnership perspective. And so one of the things that we did was to look at how do we deploy the white belt, the green belt, the yellow belt. And before they even took on that adventure, they wanted me to come in and really look at a process improvement opportunity around enrollment services and how do families enroll into the system, into the district. And so I did that Kaizen with approximately 25 stakeholders from various departments, really to look at the problem statement and get them together. And it was a huge success because people are really fearful coming into a room with senior leadership sitting at the table. And, you know, when you're a front level staff member, you're always hesitant to say, you know, what the issues are and the barriers and some of the things that gives them heartburn and why do we do things the way we do them. So it's kind of hard to have that autonomy to say that in front of senior leadership. So this Kaizen approach really created a safe environment for the individuals that were involved, and they loved it because they were able to speak their mind and their truths and get all the issues out before we even built the solution for the problem. So
that's a really nice method. I think a lot of people struggle in their cultures with how do we make this blame-free atmosphere? How do we get people comfortable with bringing the problems forward? And your description of the Kaizen as a safe space is a really nice method. I think a lot of people could probably, you know, take that and run with it. Just out of curiosity, this was about enrollment, and what was the solution? What was some of the big changes that you made?
Yeah, so one of the things that we encountered was the process was so lengthy, right? So there's two steps to the process. Essentially, there's the online registration and there's the actual registration of it. So one of the things that we had to define was what is online registration versus, you know, registering for the district. And what kind of things do we ask for from families? You know, what's the requirement? And just going through some of those parameters was kind of tough for people because we put this mandate out that we need to absolutely have these 7 or 8 different things in order for them to register and really go through the process. And, you know, we looked at statutes, we looked at some policies and procedures and to make sure that those are necessarily true. And come to find out, you know, we really didn't need those 7 or 8 different things, that it was really just, you know, 4 or 5 things that we absolutely needed to have to make sure that we're protecting the kids and the families. We wrote that a little bit And in addition to that, looking at policies and procedures around how do, you know, families really come into the schools? Do they re-enroll every year? Or do they have to start the process all over because they're already in the system? So we looked at that. And one of the things that we weren't doing was re-enrolling students and to really have the system in place so we can make it more autonomous for families to be able to register online in the comfort of their home. Say, yes, my kid is coming next year. All my information is the same. And I'm going to just hit click and nothing has changed. And my kid is going to, you know, be enrolled in first or second or third grade, whatever that incoming grade is for their student. So we've done that. We've also found out that we didn't have a training component built into how the staff really processes. They just do it, right? So really creating that standard operating procedure and training around that. So we created this virtual model, just a simple PowerPoint voiceover that walks any employee through the steps of how do you really put students and families into the system. And that has worked really well because we want to eventually go to the enrollment process at the school building level. So if I'm going to be going to, let's say, one of our middle schools as a family member, I should be able to walk into that school to say I want to register, and they should have all my information there, and they should have computer systems there where I can just sit down and just register my student. There was a lot of components.
Those are big ones, and they resonate because I've often worked with groups, whether it's, you know, an educational system or just a regular private organization, that when it comes time for improvement and people will say, well, we can't do that because of Reg 29, or we have to print all that and we have to require that because of Reg 29 or SOX compliance. You know, there was things that constantly got thrown out there and we were like, let's look at that regulation. let's pull that up. And that's what you did. You went and looked at what are the policies? What are the regulations? What are they really? They're not seven. There's four.
Really
nice. Yeah. And it makes a huge difference in terms of just friction of how hard is it to enroll. So it looks like you reduced that across the board.
Yeah. And it was interesting because one of the things that that I was told is that we'd have long waiting lines in central office for families to register their students. And so one of the things that we also looked at because of the Kaizen is how do people come into the central office to be able to register, right? So we created this, I guess you could say, this one-stop shop for families. So we had our daycare available. We had a one room where we had all of our daycare staff to be able to watch the little kids as their parents enrolled them in school. And we created a very nice process flow where in one room we held everything that a parent would probably need, whether it's just online enrollment, whether they need to fill out applications for athletics or pay their fees or wanting some assistance on some dual language or some special needs. So we had all the experts at the table and really provided this come in, you know, have a seat, you drop your kids off at the daycare. And if you want transportation services and you just need to pick up, you know, coins for your transportation needs, you would just enter in this build in this room versus going to this one-stop shop in this one area. So it was a significant improvement, and our families that really came in and used the system were pleasantly surprised at how efficient it was for them. And we know we provided water and coffee, and we were engaging their customer service as they were walking out. And the feedback that we've gotten was they were very satisfied, and that this was the first time that they felt that, you know, it was a nice flow to the process.
You need to come over to my town and fix my town processes. I got parking permits. I got shellfish permits. It's like 18 different lines to get in. Well done, man. That's really nice. What a great job.
And it's great because people really, you know, it opens their eyes to what can happen if you plan and you really look at a process from beginning to end. And we have experts that work here, and we need to utilize those expertise because they're the ones who do the work on the front lines. And who better to know what the process should be and what the solution should be but them, correct? So we're very intentional about that. And, you know, this is not about hierarchy or your title or your position. It's just about how do we make sure that we're meeting the needs of our customers.
Yeah, and really seeing those parents as your customers. And it sounds like you not only went to the people who are doing the work, because as you say, they're the experts, they know how things run, and they probably already have ideas of how they should run. You also brought them together because you by making one-stop shop, you had to align all those different groups that are probably departments that probably without you weren't necessarily in a position to talk to each other.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
So another thing the article mentioned is that you got the entire school board to go through Lean Six Sigma white belt training. So how did that go? How did that go? And what was their response?
Well, it's very interesting because I always tell people, you know, this is not just a top-down approach. It's really that grassroots effort, right? So you narrow that gap between what's happening at the top and what's happening at the bottom. And in order for any organization to be successful, you have to role model that from the top. So one of the things that I did when I first arrived at Racine Unified is to really build this white belt. Very simple. We created six small videos, vignettes. They're probably 3 to 5 minutes each, and really explained what Lean is, what Lean isn't, what is Six Sigma, what it is not, what is a Kaizen, what is 5S. So we went through all of that within these six videos. And I deployed it to the employees. And one of the things that I really wanted to do was really get the board to take it and our senior leadership. So I went to a board meeting and I said, you know, any initiative is successful if we have buy-in from the top. And it would be very important for us to be able to showcase that to our employees, that this is an initiative that's not the flavor of the month or the new shiny object. But this is how we're going to operate across the district, is to really look at processes, whether it's instructional or operational. And it's going to be important for them to really take this training so they understand and have a common vocabulary as we're talking about making improvements on the operational or the instructional side. And they were very supportive. I gave them a month to complete the training. It was virtual, so they could do it in the comfort of their home. And they completed it. We provided their certificates of completion, and they were very excited. And I also had the board president say, you know, I've taken this Lean training. I said, well, what are you going to do with it now, right? Because it changes the way you think. Everything is a process, whether you're at work or whether you're at home. So one of the examples that I've used in the training is how to clean out your refrigerator, completing doing a 5S. And that really resonates with people, because I think individuals that are process-oriented really do lean on a daily basis. You just don't realize. So I asked him that question. He's like, you know, that's a really good question for me. And you're right. We do need to look at, you know, how do we run things, and, you know, from an efficiency standpoint in terms of having our board meetings and setting up things and planning. So that was a huge win for the district. And even our senior leadership has taken the white belt training, and it's been successful. We're at about 55% completion. We have 3,300 employees, so I would say by the end of September, we should be at 100% on that.
Wow. So going for every single employee to go through that.
Yes, every single employee. It's also going to be built into an onboarding component as new employees come in. So this is not just about, you know, learning the common vocabulary, but how are you going to use that? And so one of the things that we're doing is we have this ideation innovation tool that we're going to be deploying. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Spigot.
No.
And yeah. So we're going to be using Spigot to really generate ideas around process improvement, whether instructional or operational, and provide this opportunity for our employees to say, you know, I have some really great ideas on how we can improve certain things, and not just have a suggestion box or, you know, a black hole, essentially, because we all have really great ideas. And I think one of the criticisms that I hear across organizations is, you know, I have great ideas and I, you know, submit them and I don't know where it goes. So we want to make sure that we're very transparent and have provide that visibility to our employees, that once you submit it, here's the workflow and you can see it and you can log into the system to see where in progression it is, whether we've accepted that as a priority for the district or not, and how it's aligned to our strategic plan.
Nice. And I think that transparency is the thing that doesn't exist in general. Like you said, it's a black hole, and it's an exercise in frustration. It actually hurts the culture more than anything when people spend the time, give ideas, and feel like they're not being heard.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, Lean is all about people and respecting their expertise. And it's not a reduction in force activity. So, you know, that's one of the things that I articulate very clearly to our staff and to our workforces. This is about how do we improve our employees' lives, right? By doing the work that's really important to our students. And if we have processes that, you know, have a lot of barriers and constraints into it, then you're not really working on the most important things, and that's to take care of our students.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really important for us.
I don't know if it's where it started or how prevalent it is, but we've heard people feel like the acronym, it leans an acronym standing for less employees are needed.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And just like you said, you have to address that head on. You have to come in right away and say, absolutely not.
Right. Right.
And sort of try to push that fear out of the room. Have you had any challenges? You've obviously had a series of successes, and it sounds like things are changing and culturally things are shifting. But what challenges have you met up with?
Yeah, so, you know, any organization have employees that, you know, think this is the new shiny object, right? What's really coming through is this sustainable for us? So I always have to go out and say, you know, this is the way of life for Racine Unified School District. This is how we're going to look at processes. And this is how we're going to make sure that our students are achieving, right? So people always want to focus on the operational. And what I'm saying is, not only are we going to focus on the operational, we're also going to do the instructional side of the house. And, you know, we have tenured staff here that, again, we probably deployed a lot of initiatives across, you know, 20, 30 years, and things have come and go. So here's another thing that I really have to sell to individuals, and I can only sell it by showing them results and showing them how lean can really play a critical role or an important role in what they do each and every day. So that's always the struggle, because I feel like, you know, it's simple for me because I do this on a daily basis, and it's a struggle for me to keep saying the same thing. It's like I'm trying to sell it every single day. And I'm hoping that eventually people will see the results and say, wow, you know, I'm a believer, you got me. And I know we have a couple of individuals that have made comments in terms of, you know, I've been here for 40 some years, and the Kaizen approach that you've taken, I've seen true transformational end in terms of what we're doing here. So he's very excited, and he spreads the word around what we're doing from a lean perspective. So I do have some champions, but again, I will say we have 3,300 employees, and we have new employees coming in on a yearly basis. So it's always trying to sell what lean is. And it's not a program. It's not an initiative. It's just the way of life where we're seeing unified.
Mm. And have you had anyone come up to you and say, you know, this is incredible. This is exciting. How can I learn more? Like, I don't want to just have this basic training. Could I get more training?
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm doing is I'm created this application process for green belts, and that's the next level. So we'll be doing around 73 green belts across the district in total. So we can really create this distributed leadership model where they own the work and they really do the work and feel empowered to be able to fix processes.
Yeah.
And that application process is really around, why are you passionate about doing continuous improvement? It's not a resume building, but it's really about, how are you going to really use this training to improve our processes in the school district? And that's going to be deployed within the next week or so. And we're going to start with the central staff here, and then we're going to move it to principals, and then to teachers, and to frontline staff.
That's exciting. It sounds like it's sort of twofold. It's both, you're asking them, why do you want this? But it sounds like it also came from interest. People wanted more. They wanted to be more part of it.
Yeah. And so because I was getting a lot of individuals wanting to, especially because of the Kaizen work that I've done in the last year or so, very excited about wanting to learn more about Lean Six Sigma. And I said, well, you got to hold on a little bit, because we're going to be creating this application process, because I really want people that are interested in doing process improvement, right? You either really like it and are interested and have a passion for it about improvement and looking at processes from front to back. And helping really the team come up with the solution, because it's not a solution that just one person comes up with. And it's really about building that collaboration and partnership across the many departments that we have at the district level. So it's not just one person looking at, oh, we need to fix this. It's about, how do I really engage other departments to look at a common problem that we can solve together?
Mm, no, engagement is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to tell our listeners?
Hmm. You know, one of the things, it's a struggle here in the education sector when we don't see our families as customers or see our students as customers. And I think we need to change that narrative across the education industry that they are our customers and we're here to serve them. I always find that as a struggle every time I'm presenting and I mention that our families and our students are customers. You know, people are taken back by that, like, oh, well, they're not customers. You know, we provide a service and, you know, they're seen as families and students. They're not our customers. I really want to help change that. And I think that's something we're starting here at RUSD where I'm starting to really hear that language really being used among customers and customer satisfaction and customer requirements. One of the great things about bringing Lean into an organization is, you know, you're making effective change when people start using your language and they actually understand it and they promote it within their departments and even in the community. So that's really exciting. And one of the other things that we're going to be doing is bringing in data and making data-driven decisions. We've been using data for a while now, but to really make data visible and really being out at the school level so we can simplify the data and get the data to be that language that we speak when we're developing strategies and make data very, very visible, specifically my office, as I have the accountability and assessment pieces to it. So we want to really be visible in the schools and help them to transform what they're doing from a strategy perspective in their classroom.
Those are great, especially what you just talked about with seeing students and families as customers is this mind shift. And we've seen the same thing in government where basically they feel like, well, we have hostages, you know, they can't go anywhere else. And you might be experiencing, people might think that too, like, well, they have to go to the school district. You know, this is, they're not customers. And, and they truly are. They're receiving the goods and services of the school. So that's a great, it's a great focus. It's a great shift. And I think once people make it, it's like, oh, okay. And then it sounds like that's starting to happen.
Yep. Very excited about that.
So Kamaljeet, how could someone find or communicate with you if they want to ask you more about this and the success you've had in the educational sphere?
Yeah. So they can go on to our website at www.rusd.org and they can look me up there. And I'm also very easy to find on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So
And I would back that up to everybody. She is, and you can hear it. You can see a lot of great things that are going on, which is really nice. You point out some successes, which are always great to see and inspiring to other people. Whether you're trying to apply this to education, government, or private sector, a lot of the same things are coming up.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Just in Time Cafe podcast. My guest today has been Kamaljeet Jackson, Senior Accountability and Efficiency Officer at the Racine Unified School District. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kamaljeet.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you to the audience. It's been a pleasure.
If you haven't signed up yet, please join me for my next webinar, The Four Pillars of Lean. We talk about what are the important components of building a lean culture, and that's on December 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Definitely check out this month's Wonder Woman of Quality, Sally Twister of Marriott Hotels, and this month's success story, recent black belt Sean Halpin, who cut the ramp-up time for temp employees by 2 weeks.
Definitely join us in 2 weeks to hear Tracy's interview with thought leader Mark Graben, who just released his new book, Measures of Success.
Thanks for spending some time with us at the Just in Time Cafe today.
See you in 2 weeks for the last episode of 2018.
Don't want to miss that.
No.